The Digivolution!
Is that Ben Renning?
Did you see?
Did you hear?
Did you know it was coming?
Our Digidestiny
starts today.
Let me hear you say...
Digimon!
Woo! Even I felt nerdy after that.
Welcome to Podmon Adventure, the podcast where I may be down, but I don't want to be out.
All right.
Today we are watching episode 51, The Crest of Friendship.
It's Matt's crest, right?
That is Matt's crest.
Despite him being one of the least reliable friends in this group.
Well, reliability isn't.
It's not his. It's Joe's thing.
Yeah.
And he just decided to fuck off last episode
right.
Anyway.
Because he needs to be reliable, so he abandoned his friends.
Yep.
We're coming down to the wire. Only 4 more episodes to go.
And we're gonna start the wire.
Yeah, and then we're gonna
see how its themes, how Digimon's themes are present in the wire.
Right. I've never watched the Wire. Have you?
I've seen a couple episodes, and they were out of order. I've never been grabbed by it, but it's apparently really good. So
yeah, that's what I hear. Well, how are you doing this week, buddy? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have me mid-yawn? Mid-yawn. Oh, I think this weekend I'm going to see American football in somewhere.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that'll be fucking fun. One of my favorite bands.
Anybody else significant playing with them? Or
I do not know. Should be a good time.
Yeah, that's always a mixed bag. It's like it's either hot or cold, right? Like either you find a new band, like the opening act or whatever, like you find a new band, like, oh, this is great. I'm going to look them up whenever I get home. Or it's...
Get off the stage.
Right.
Boo. No, I mean, I generally don't feel that level of derision for most bands in that position.
I wouldn't say derision is just like, it's already going to be 35, 45 minutes after you're done, and I'm just not vibing with this, and like I can't leave the spot that I'm in, so I just have to just... I have to just take this.
I know that feeling, yeah, for sure. Yeah, in the good version of that, I found a really cool band, Pool Kids, last time I went to go see Pup play, or the only time I've been to see Pup play.
Right.
I'm saying Pup play like that's the name of the band.
Right.
But I went to see Pup play songs.
I love Pup play songs.
God, we're like 2 years out from that being a rapper's name. Lil Pup and Trey Songz, they collabed, and is Lil Pup a thing? I know Lil Pump is. I feel like Lil Pup is also out there.
I mean, probably.
Doing dog-themed raps. Doing some raps. Is that what they call it?
Yeah, that might... I mean, I don't... I mean, I'm just getting, like, an Instagram feed. I don't think that Lil Pup is a rapper, unfortunately. Anyway, that might be the whitest thing I've ever heard you say.
What, do raps?
Doing some raps.
Doing some raps. Hey, Eminem, you want to head on down to 8 Mile and do some raps? I heard there's a battle going on tonight.
You kids aren't doing some raps in here, are you? No, Grand Wizard.
I heard some kid died off raps.
So, yeah, Joe abandoned Mimi. Sora and TK are looking for Matt. Joe is also looking for Matt, and Ty is standing up to Piedmon to hold him off until everybody gets there. So what are your expectations for this week? Do you think everybody's going to reunite by the end of this episode? Do you think that...
I would sure hope so, just so we can come in. The one after this is going to be the last one, right? Or the... How many more episodes in the
There's
season?
There's four more.
Four more in the season. Okay. Wait, including this one, or...?
Yeah, including this one.
Okay. So, well, shit. I don't know. I don't know if we'll get the whole crew together. I would like for that to happen, just so we can stop having these where is yada yada conversations. Let's see. You know, let's see. Piedmon is approaching Ty and Kari and Izzy, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like Mega Cobbetary Mon's going to get knocked out of the box pretty quick, and then it's going to be like War Greymon versus Piedmon, but Piedmon's going to just, you know, hand it to him again. And then Kari is going to access her, you know, being the daughter of man powers.
Right.
And is going to, you know, Deus Ex all over the Machina. So, I don't know.
Well, I do, but I will put that aside and find out with you as if I were a newborn babe coming into the digital world for the first time.
I wonder if that's ever happened. Because it kind of lucked out that all the Digidestined were, like, you know, at least... what, six or so?
Yeah.
Six or seven? Because, like, what if everybody had just been, like, 6 years younger than they were whenever they saw the Digimon in the real world?
That's a good question. Like,
it's just a bunch of babies.
Yeah.
Trapped off into the digital world.
So, like, your infant memory fades around, like, three or so.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so, like, it was 4 years ago. TK is like seven. I think TK is younger than Kari. I think TK is like supposed to be seven, I'm pretty sure. So TK is like right on the cusp of like having memory of the event. If it was like a year before, like if they just don't have any memory of it at all. Because they were young enough that, like, it was, like, repressed or whatever you would say. Like, would they still have been chosen, or is it just them experiencing it and the...
Yeah.
The data that was mined from them whenever they... whenever they saw,
yeah,
saw them fight.
The reverse of it too. Like, what if they had been like 80?
Right.
You know, they all just die on impact from the fall into the digital world.
Well,
can you reproduce in the digital world? This is another important question. Hopefully, going to be answered this episode. So stick around for that.
Yeah, let's hope so. Yeah, let's go watch this episode, and we will be right back. Welcome back, Nolan.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
I'm welcomed.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure you felt welcomed. And to you listening, welcome back as well.
Sure.
So...
Yep. We begin on Joe's spirit quest, don't we?
Well, yeah. It's really just a quest for Matt. And
yeah, pretty much.
He's already losing faith.
Yeah,
like we
he gets a piece of evidence and is immediately like, well, this doesn't really prove anything.
Right. We leave Joe last week like, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to find Matt, and I'm going to find myself and prove that I can be counted on. Then immediately we jump to like,
yeah,
this is hopeless. Yeah. We're never going to fucking find him.
I just found the boat that we all assumed he was on.
Right.
That doesn't prove shit, though.
Oh, I forgot to... maybe we'll get some more this week. I forgot to ask about the Joe counter last week. But We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Later on.
While Joe's in his search, we also see that Ty has begun the fighting with Piedmon, who is a real story pervert. He's a real narrative creep.
Fucking War Greymon gets one hit in on Piedmon.
Yeah,
and Ty's just like, I think we won.
I think we did it. It's always been this easy, right? Or am I forgetting something?
Oh shit, there's still 20 more episodes or 20 more minutes of the episode to go.
Oh no.
Piedmon tells a little story, and I agree with Izzy, and it's not the fact that in Piedmon's telling of the story the Digidestined lose. It's just in like his story composition, his like skill as a narrator. Like I don't feel
buy it. Yeah.
I don't buy it. I don't feel hooked in. I don't
feel attached to any of his characters.
I don't care about any of the characters in his story. He
needs to go to the Learning Annex and take a writing course.
He definitely does.
Or download a master class or something, whatever you do in the digital world.
Right. Sora is starting to lose hope as well, but keeps a brave face for TK.
Despite, you know, openly weeping.
Yeah.
She tries to hold it together.
Kari wants to help fight, but Ty tells them to wait because it's all or nothing with Ty. Either Matt shows up and they all help fight, or War Greymon just fights alone and gets his shit handed to him. Can't.
Yep. More power to him for preserving the other fighters,
right,
by sacrificing himself and War Greymon, because it ends up working out, but we'll get there. Cutting now to Matt, who we're catching up with for the first time in a while. Him and Gabumon are walking through the corridor of a deep, dark cave.
Yeah, we haven't seen Matt at all since he and Metal Gurumon showed up to kill Puppetmon three or four episodes ago.
He may have just been, like, being cosmically drawn to this darkness.
It just occurred to me watching this episode. There is, because the next season is a sequel to this season, and there is an element of next season that I think actually ties into the weird occurrences in this episode. But there is a certain aspect or like area of the digital world, or like a mirrored dimension of the digital world. It's
the dark digi world,
basically. Yeah, like there is a shadow place that feeds on negative emotions, and Matt seems to have found himself there. Matt's walking in a creepy ass cave, and Gabumon is not about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Matt is despondently sort of recounting all of his failures and how he saw that TK no longer relied on him for friendship and protection, and that made him feel less than.
Yeah.
So he sort of internalized all those feelings and thought that it was because he was inherently worthless, and Gabumon talks him down off the ledge and manages to free him from the darkness.
Yeah, as Matt's putting himself down, a black fog starts to surround him and his pupils, like, disappear. His eyes get all weird and as soulless as you can, you know, make a soulless cartoon character look in the eyes.
They always have a gradient, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, they don't usually have much of an iris, but they've got it, right?
Right.
And so I guess the way to communicate that they are that their mind is compromised is just to just grade that color.
Yeah, it's a little, I mean, it's a little shallow, I guess you could say, but also...
It communicates it well enough. I don't.
He's 11?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think this is the scene that does a lot of the heavy lifting for Matt being the number two guy in the group, because Ty's development has been pretty evenly spread, like heavy in the Edamon arc, but still pretty evenly spread throughout the season.
It's also been kind of a like incline into like his own self-actualization and validity as a member of the group.
Right.
Whereas for everyone else, there's been like an ebb and flow. And for certain characters, there's been like a decline. And I think Matt is, you know, just recovering from his own damaged persona. I actually really, really loved this. Because, I mean, I'm no stranger to those feelings,
right.
Like, as an almost 30-year-old man now.
Right, yeah.
You know, I think we all, at some points, feel like, I don't know if all of us feel this way, but I think people who struggle with self-esteem in general know that it's not a, like, a logical problem that you're having. It's like an emotional one.
Yeah.
And that, you know, having a friend is the only way to really absolve yourself of those feelings.
Gabumon bites Matt to try to break him out of his depression, and Matt opens up about his parents' divorce and breaks down and cries, saying he never let anyone see him cry, although I'm pretty sure we've seen Matt cry before.
Yeah, for sure.
After accepting the love in his life, Matt becomes aware of the pitch-black butthole. That is just hovering at the top of the cave. But with his soul searching complete, the cave disappears, mm-hmm. and there's Joe to find.
Good old Joe
to find Matt
to take credit for Matt's own success.
Right. How reliable.
Yep. Joe is super stoked that he found Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was on the cusp of giving up right before this all happened. He was like, I was set on doing it forever. Gabumon, shut the fuck up. I'm just glad this happened before I retired. From what, Joe? Being a bitch?
But the feel-goods are over. Now we're back to War Greymon just getting his shit canned all over the place.
Oh, yeah. It's Valiant that he's... stood against Piedmon this long, considering how quickly both Metal Gurumon and War Greymon were taken down by him earlier.
Yeah.
So,
one thing that I don't really know, and I think it's another thing that varies from continuity to continuity, is like, do they get stronger?
I think so. I think they get, like, experience from fighting.
Right? Yeah. And, like, how much, like, is it marginal? Or, like, after beating two other Dark Masters, and War Greymon at least fought Puppetmon, is he significantly stronger than when he first fought Piedmon, or is it, you know, like, obviously he's not enough to beat him, as we see, but, like, how much stronger do they get, or is it entirely just a...
I think it's, like, so in D&D, there's two basic ways you level up. There's either experience points,
mm-hmm.
which are, like, objective, like, if you kill enough goblins, you will level up.
Right.
And then there's milestone, where it's just, like, the DM will decide if enough of a milestone has been crossed that you would have to have gotten power.
So a digivolution would be a milestone.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Right.
Because, like, it wouldn't really make sense if you were just, like, out grinding Numamon and you just somehow became the most powerful Digimon there ever has been. The same way it doesn't really track if you're, like, out in the forest killing goblins and then you turn into a, like, level 20 god killer
right.
just by hacking down these little green guys.
But as it stands right now, WarGreymon hasn't done enough grinding for this for this fight. Sora and TK find Matt's boat, but no Matt. And Sora, succumbing to her own doubt and depression, gets swallowed up by the butthole just as Matt finds TK.
Much more quickly, too. Sora has, I think, the most deep-seated issues of anyone in the group.
Yeah, probably.
Because her like her sense of struggle is like, does my mom love me?
Well, yeah, and also Sora is the mom of the group.
Yeah, she puts the most like responsibility on the emotional state and safety of the rest of the crew, and that's, I think, a tremendous burden on her.
Yeah.
She always feels like she's not trying hard enough, or she's not, you know, holding up her end of the commitments that they have.
Yeah. Which, well, first of all, it's a shame she couldn't have just waited just like 5 more seconds for Matt and Joe to round the corner
exactly,
and find him.
Yeah, it was, and then she needs convincing after she's already like in the presence of, I guess she's being, she's fully possessed at that point, but like,
yeah.
Oh, by the way, Bioman apparently not that good at talking somebody off a cliff as Gabumon is.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something about Gabumon's sort of wide-eyed naivete and stupidity that allows him to just sort of get to the heart of emotional issues. But I wonder what Bioman was saying to Sora in that moment.
Right.
She was just like, well, when you're right, you're right. I mean, I guess you haven't been trying hard enough, huh?
So Matt, TK, and Joe scale down into Sora's cave. They follow Bioman's voice to catatonic Sora, who is talking to herself.
Yeah.
And saying she needs to find everybody, and the whole world's relying on her. There's no place like home, which makes no sense
again,
in the context.
What is with all these like Wizard of Oz references that are not hitting?
Right? Like,
they're here, so it's enough to be like a motif they're trying for, but none of them are fucking hitting.
Yeah, it makes no sense in the context. And so
bases loaded, two outs. There's no place like home. That one actually works a little bit better because home base, but
yeah. Yeah, I wish that, like, Sora's whole thing had been more about, like, her feeling of responsibility in keeping the group together than it had been, like, I have to save the world.
Yeah.
Because then Joe is like, Sora, you can't be responsible for saving the world. But she is literally 1/8 responsible for saving the world. Like, that's literally her job.
Yeah. At that point, yeah. I don't think it's wrong for her to be taking this, like, deadly serious.
Yeah. And then the thing that, like, snaps her out of it is being like, oh, we're the only ones who can do this. Like, which is it? Are you not responsible for saving the world, or are you literally not only responsible, but the only, like, collection of junior high schoolers in the world that can possibly be responsible for saving the world?
A little confused there in Sora's part. Whatever gets her out of the cave, man.
So Matt, having just gone through the same thing, gives Sora a guided meditation out of her her depression cave. And she's all better now. No thanks to Bioman. And or Joe or anybody. Really just Matt. That'll come up. And so they go off to find Ty. And just in time, because WarGreymon and Ty
are getting their asses kicked.
Are getting the shit beat out of them. WarGreymon is literally about to die.
Yeah. Which, yeah, brings me back to why don't they just attack the Digidestined whenever they're in these fights with the Digimon? You know, they could pretty easily, I bet, just decapitate them all.
Right.
In one fell swoop. But,
like, Piedmon fucking sends his swords and Wargrain was like, huh, you missed. Did you see that tie he mi- Oh.
Did I? Looks like the epilogue is about to begin. Story pervert. That's what he is.
Yes, story pervert. Matt finally makes it in time to hold Ty in his arms as he dies.
Yeah. He's like, Matt, you made it. It was all for you.
Ty coughs up blood onto Matt as Matt confesses his undying feelings for Ty.
Yep. Yeah, they make up. It's all good. In fact, Matt's power of friendship is enough to heal Wargreymon and Ty, or just Wargreymon.
Yeah. No,
I think not being a Digimon kind of gave him the short end of the stick.
Right. Yeah.
In that regard,
Ty's gonna die at the end of this.
His lungs are collapsed.
The last two episodes are just Ty in a coma in the digital hospital.
Oh man.
Just waiting to see if he ever responds. Will he?
Yeah. Until Matt screams into his ass. And
right.
It's like, and Matt's like, no, you can't go. Right into his ass. And then beep, beep. He wakes up and they start fighting.
Hey, Digimon plays over the credits. Metal Gurumon joins the fight. Can two Megas beat Piedmon? And also, where the fuck is Mimi? Because everybody else is here.
Oh, shit, yeah. Yeah, Mimi's with the Misfit toys or whatever.
Right.
She's building an army, I bet, of despondent Digimon.
Yeah.
Turncoats.
Will they make it back in time?
Will they?
To have anything to do with this final fight? Because next episode is Piedmon's last jest. We will have to wait and see. But before we see, quotes.
Quotes, potent quotables. When Joe and Gomamon are descending into the cave, Joe says, "You're man enough not to laugh when I tickle you," which is them just palling around, but it's just funny out of context. whenever Sora and TK are flying off to find Matt and Joe, TK is like trying to get some kind of words of wisdom or some support out of Sora. And she says, the only thing I can say is, and then just breaks down in tears behind one of the legs of Bergermon. It's just really funny. She's trying to console a child and just she just loses it. Matt, whenever he's about to describe his, his 13 reasons why he, Gabumon kind of jumps the gun and is just like, you're not a real blonde? Trying to guess what his issue is. Let's see. Whenever Matt and TK are reunited, TK's like, you look different. Did you cut your hair? And Matt's like, no, I'm just not using as much gel. Bitch, you brought gel into the digital world. And throughout your depression, you didn't stop using it. You just used less of it. So that is how canonically they get their hair like that. They do use gel.
Right.
It's got to be it. Whenever they're trying to get Sora up, for some reason, Joe thinks it's appropriate to say, once it took four of us to get my grandma off the toilet like this. Just very out of place. That's it for this episode, I think, in terms of potent quotes.
What's our Joe counter?
Joe counter? I don't think he was really a bitch at all. He just kind of...
What about last week?
Last week? I don't think either. Did he do anything bitch-like? I didn't count anything.
Okay. That's your thing. So if you say no, then...
He fell down. I mean, like, Joe has turned a corner where, like, him being, like, pissy is not him, like, bitching out at things anymore. It's more him, like... wanting to be different or like,
right.
Yeah. Trying to improve himself. He's not just like, no, I'm a little bitch, you know, spit in my mouth, you know, like he was before.
Nobody died this week, and I don't really know if we can really rank depression.
Yeah, the depression.
On the Digimon Analyzer. So, this episode.
I'm going ultimate.
Yeah.
I think the emotional core of this episode is timeless and is just, I think, a really good thing for a kid to see. That, you know, sometimes the villain isn't, you know, the external threat. Sometimes the call is coming from inside the house.
Yeah, sometimes the villain is the friends we made along the way that we we doubt our value and relationship to.
Exactly.
And also, you know, like, they've been up against tough villains before. Like, they fought Myotismon a couple of times and lost. But there's never been, like, a just getting the shit beat out of them, like, physical damage. And just at the end of the episode, like, have a glimmer of hope. Like, usually they turn it around, or like they get beat, the bad guy gets the thing they want and fucks off. But yeah, to have like a whole episode of like, oh, if Sora, who is going through some shit right now, doesn't find Matt, who is going through some shit right now, and get back to Ty, they're going to fucking die. And like the stakes of that are really strong this episode. So I think all around, I would say, yeah, easy ultimate for me.
Mm-hmm.
But we will find out what happens next week. Next week.
Same Digitime, same Digichannel.
Until then, thank you for listening. And we will be here then when it is. Goodbye.